Hi, and welcome to the latest and greatest of the Modern Honest Dating Podcast. As always, when I record and I publish this is my Saturday. Depending where you are in the world, it might be your Friday, or it might be just later on, even in the year, if you're not listening to this immediately bang on of the day it is released. If you're not listening to it on the exact day that it is released, I am very disappointed in you. You're not a good enough fan. No, you're great. You're actually really cool. I love getting the feedback from these things. Like, honestly, like, doing the podcast is one of my favorite things in the world. Like, I love interacting with you guys. I love the emails that I get. I love the responses that I get from you people. And it's honestly, like, it's really cool to see that, you know, I do talk to women, you know, I do as your, you know, it's Get Him Hooked, right? I'm Harvey Hook from Get Him Hooked. I do work with, say, 90% women, but there is that other 10%, and that other 10% that I do have is, like, men, and even people who are, you know, like, same-sex couples, things like that, and it's really amazing to know. And just to have these people, like different kinds of people from different parts of the world, using the advice that I give and things like that, and they're getting the results that they want, you know? But it's really funny that the hardest thing in the entire world is often figuring out what you actually want, you know? It's so funny because a lot of people, when they get into dating, when they get into relationships, and they get into just figuring out where they want to go, they don't know where they want to go. So if you're in that phase, that's what I refer to as the experimental phase. That's basically it. It's just all about experimenting. It's all about figuring out what you want. And if you don't know what you want, then just give it a go. Because pretty soon, what happens is, and you probably felt this before, is you get to what I call just a disappointment. You know, you keep doing the same thing, getting the same results. Or maybe, for example, you know, sex, casual sex is really good, but then later on you're in a phase where you probably want something a bit more, and so something casual comes along, you say, hey, let's just do it for the hell of it, and then you get that little D, that disappointment. So it's really interesting. So in this episode, what I wanted to talk about was your textuality. So that's not your sexuality, that's your textuality. So that's actually how to be instantly 10 times more attractive via text messaging. So simply put, text messaging is this modern thing now. It's this thing that both enables us and disables us. And it's really funny because a lot of people are really good at messaging, but some people are really bad at text messaging, almost to the point where it will potentially screw up a potential romance from happening, you know? And, you know, everyone always says that it's like, okay, you know, if you meet the one, then all these dating rules just go out the window. Unfortunately, what happens is that when we meet the one, sometimes we get so excited that we trip over ourselves, you know? Or if, say, we've got these issues and things like that, right? We have these beliefs or ideas that we should be rejected, and then we hurt ourselves actually before we get rejected. So we reject ourselves actually before we get rejected. So basically, all this crazy, crazy, wonderful dating advice that I give you, you know, all this crazy advice is basically something that you want to realize is all practice. You know, it's basically practice, so that way when you meet this most amazing person, you have the best chance of giving it the best space and the best thing that you actually genuinely want it to be. Now, you know, when you actually are in that relationship, you basically want to also treat it like it's also an experiment in the sense, because when you go into a relationship and you're thinking, this is it, this is going to be the one, this is going to be my last ever relationship, you're putting so much pressure on the other person. And when you put so much pressure on the other person, you're not necessarily dating them, you're dating the idea of them. The amount of people that I've met who are like, I want kids, this person is going to be my passageway to kids. And then afterwards, they're like, oh my God, I got the family I wanted, but why don't I feel loved? It's like, because you got into the wrong relationship with the wrong person. You fell in love with the idea of kids before you actually fell in love with a person. So you should always be experimenting, even if you're with the one. Because basically what happens is when you're experimenting, you're trying to learn, you're trying to figure this out, you know. People often ask, you know, what are you studying or things like that, or, you know, a lot of people ask each other like, oh, so are you working or are you studying? Because there's only the two, obviously. And it's really funny because me being me, sometimes I like to play undercover, you know. There's the idea that, you know, I basically am... It's really simple, but it's kind of funny. Like, I'm a master at people. I'm a master at conversation and all these kinds of things. And sometimes if I go to a house party, genuinely, I like to play undercover. Like, I like to play undercover because I don't really want people to know who I am, what I do, and then get into the conversation of like, oh, you know, so what is that? What does being a dating and relationship coach involve? You know, sometimes I just like to talk shit with people as well. And it's like when you're experimenting with people, you're learning at the core essence what they need the most. You know, you're not experimenting with them like this evil, evil dictator. You're experimenting with them because you're trying to figure out what they like the most, what they don't like the most, and give them the most of what they like. You know, in the past, we've talked about attraction triggers. Basically, if someone realizes that you like, if you like, you know, back massages, and they give you back massages more often, you know, you kind of like them because they're giving you what you want. Now, this is where we get into textuality. Ooh, so textual. When I get that feeling, I need textual healing. Because it's the same thing with that back massage metaphor. If you get too many back massages, it can be too much. So here are some simple no-nos of what to do. No-no number one, whatever you do, do not ask questions like, how was your day going, unless you're in an established relationship. If you're saying things like, how's your day going, you know, what's been happening, things like that. Basically, what you're communicating to the other person is, regardless if you're a man or woman or straight or not straight or anything like that, or some blend of the between the few or the two or the whatever, is that you're basically saying, I'm bored, please entertain me, I have nothing else going on. When it comes to the first date, one of the most powerful things you can do is actually doing less of one of the most powerful things, which is actually texting, you know? So let's think about the good old days, you know, the good old days before we did not have a mobile phone. When we didn't have a mobile phone, we'd often get their house number and we'd actually stay, like, spend some time, you know, thinking, oh my God, when do I call them? What's the right time? All this kind of stuff, because it was about quality, not quantity. And if you're a quality person before the first date, basically what you want to use texting as is a way to just make sure is to test to see if they're actually still into you, you know, because if they're not actually into you, you going for the date is going to be such a letdown and such a confidence killer. So you always want to just, you know, like get to like flirt a little bit just to see where they're at. You know, if they're responding really well, go for the date. If they're not responding really well, then don't. You know, it's probably better to maybe get them on the phone to make them feel more connected with you, things like that. Number two is to actually set up a date. Do not use texting until you're actually in an established relationship, at least maybe after the second or third date or things like that, to create conversations. The more you do that, basically what you're doing is you're anchoring the relationship to just be a text-based relationship. And this is a huge, huge issue because so many people are just comfortable with text-based relationships. And if it's not in real life, then I'm sorry, then it's not as real as it could be. Because in real life, we got touch, we got, you know, tonality, we got body language, things like that. All these things, like for example, touch, oxytocin, they're like the mother of connection hormones, like things like that. It's so important to establish this in person. So here's the thing, right? Whatever you do, do not like that. No, number one, don't say, oh, how's your day going, to try and create a conversation. If you want to create a conversation, what you can do is share something that was good about your day. You know, so don't just be like, how was your day? I've been really bored. I'm just looking for things or things like that, because it communicates that you got nothing really going on. He's the only thing. And then what that does is that creates pressure on him. And if you know, one of the biggest things when it comes to attraction is safety, and safety comes from lack of pressure, you know, that's where most people thrive, even in the workplace. If there is less stress, more parts of your brain are actually engaged. So we put pressure on each other for things. And how often has that been, if you've ever been in a more established relationship, you know, where shit is going down and you're having a lot of trouble actually connecting? And maybe because of work stress or things like that. It's like stress gets in the way. The more you can help someone de-stress, the more you actually can help them, and you can actually help them connect to you more. So remember, this is always about giving. You know, a level four relationship is just you and your partner giving to each other fully, you know, not worrying about if you're not going to get anything back in return, because most of the time, or a good majority of the time, or 99% of the time, that person actually gives back to you, as scary as that sounds. So after you set up the dates, You can spend some time talking, but what I'd recommend is any real conversation that you have, any conversation that's like texting, how's your day, things like that, should be done over the phone. Now, if you're the kind of person who's afraid to talk on the phone, it's probably worth getting used to talking on the phone. If you're dating someone who's afraid to talk on the phone, then maybe that just shows you where he's at. So that's a bit of an issue right there. So what you can do, a fun little thing. Oh yeah, sorry, before I tell you the what you can do for the fun little thing to get people on the phone 10 times easier and amazingly, is once you set up the dates, drop the amount of communication that you're doing. You do not need to communicate, because anything more, basically what you want to do is generate this amazing energy for the date. So that way, you know, there's anticipation, there's excitement, there's so much more importance. If you try and start the date early by texting them because you're impatient about the date, you're going to ruin it's a balloon, right? You're going to drop the level of air in the balloon, which will basically ruin the energy for the date. So it's best to save those kinds of things for the actual date. Now, if you're so hell-bent on talking to the guy, what you need to do is do this trick. And this trick is basically how to get him on the phone. As always, there is a hierarchy for communication. The hierarchy is in person first, then maybe calls, and texting is only to get on calls and in person. You know, that later on, when you're actually more comfortable with the person, you can then text. But, you know, going into it too soon when the other person isn't feeling it, unless they are feeling it, there's always a caveat, unless they are feeling it, but if they're not feeling it, which is a good majority of the time, it's time to take a step back, because otherwise you're not necessarily making them feel safe. So what you can do is, if you're texting them, if you do text the guy, especially if you have an iPhone where it has that little dot, 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 you know, that I love that dot, dot, dot. So when you know they're replying back, you're like, oh, I feel that they're there, you know? What you do is basically, as they send you the message back, call them straight away. Now, the guy will not pick up the phone if he's at work or is at a place where he can't pick up the phone. But if he can, you have then maybe 5 or 10 minutes to chat. Now, the whole point of the 5 or 10 minutes to chat is you just say, you know, you put a time constraint on it to make people feel safe. So you say, hey, you know, I just had a few minutes. I just wanted to talk because I just, you know, I wanted to see how you were going, or I saw this thing. You know, it's probably easier to talk than not to talk. It's these kinds of things that you create a stronger connection with someone, you know? So basically, you know, with all of this, you always do want the most, you basically want the best chance for it to thrive and survive. Because if you're not doing that, then you're not giving yourself the best chance to, like, show yourself off, all these kinds of things. It's like, dating advice is basically, you know, a lot of people get upset by it because they're like, oh, you're telling me more things to do. Why are you telling me more things to do? But in actual fact, what I'm doing is I'm stripping shit away. You know, I'm stripping away all of these elements to their basic core thing, which is basically empathy. You know, knowing where someone else is at and knowing that most people, even the most macho, whatever, strong person who's invincible to the universe, still needs to feel safe, you know? And when you can give them that, you can make them feel safe to express their emotions or to express who they are, you know, any person, even myself, you know, that I am, like, you know, the master of communication and all these kinds of things, what I crave most of all is just safety, you know, safety to be myself. And that's basically what most people want, is they just want safety to be themselves. And that's what a good majority of dating advice is, you know. It's just learning what empathy is, learning how to read another person, things like that, and also how to create a little bit of spice and anticipation. Because if you do not spend, like, if you do not text that guy until the day before, by the way, the last step is the day before, you send him a message saying, hey, you still up for tomorrow, to confirm the date. And he's probably spent the entire time going, oh my God, are we still on? I don't know, all this kind of stuff. I don't really know. What you then do is you just send him the text message the day before. He'll confirm. And if he doesn't confirm, he was never into you in the first place. All these, because we feel like we need to text to actually get their attention, right? When you don't text him for the entire time, you're actually building your own value, things like that. But also, you're building anticipation. Now, if you spend the entire time texting, you have a high chance of dissipating that energy. But also, if that person was never into you in the first place, texting him more will not help you. Because when you text him more, if he's not that into you, he's just getting more of a sample of not to, to, you know, because he doesn't want to be more around you, basically. So, you know, that isn't going to be harsh, but rejection is a good thing. Rejection is a good thing in the sense that when you get rejected by someone, you get stronger, you get feedback, you're getting basically more powerful because you're realizing, fuck that guy, he doesn't want me, like, what does he want? You know, he doesn't want anything. But also, rejecting other people is a good thing. The more people you reject, so the more people you say no to, the more people you actually say yes to that are going to be better for you. So for example, if someone is not, like if they're standing you up, or they're, you know, they're not really communicating themselves very well to you, and you say, I'm sorry, I don't really have time for that, you're communicating to your brain that you deserve 10 times more than that, and that way, it makes it easier. It's called the law of diminishing returns. So it makes it actually easier to do that kind of thing next time. You know, everyone always says it's so hard the first time to do something. Well, the law of diminishing returns means that every time you do something, well, this is just one interpretation because there's many interpretations of the law. That every time you do something, it's actually easier to do it the next time and easier to do it the next time and easier to do it the next time and easier to do it the next time. So if you reject someone who is treating you like shit in a way that you perceive treats you like shit, then basically what you're communicating to your brain is next time it's going to be easier, and next time it's going to be easier, and next time it's going to be easier. So isn't that a good thing? But let's get back to that textuality. Basically, one of the things you can do is I want you to be able to sense when another person is pushing back, and you want to push back a little bit more than them. Because when you push back a little bit more than them, you're creating space. Now, what that space does is that gives them an option. That gives them an option to fill the space or to back off, right? If they back off, turns out they weren't just that into you. But even if the person, right, here's the thing. You always want to be the flame and not the moth. If you feel like you're chasing people, it's time to do less. Because when you chase people, you're actually doing way too much. And that's why people get exhausted from dating. Because you're like, but I keep chasing people. I keep following things up and things like that. If you're chasing people, you're doing way too much. This is why space is a good thing. Space is like the ultimate power, like especially when it comes to dating, right? So you basically take a step back, just a mild step back. You create space or distance. So that's why there's things like, that's why I recommend with this thing, like a bit of radio silence. Because the more distance you have, the more they actually have the space to come to you. Now, this is basically empathy, because if you feel like you have to do everything to make that other person like you, you're basically devaluing the other person. Like, who are you to do everything and not let that person actually give to you, you know? It's like someone who loves to give gifts. If you say, no, 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 I can't, you know, it's my job to always give that gift, you know, you're basically robbing them of that experience. So space isn't actually a really good thing, because you want to be the moth. Sorry, you want to be the flame and not the moth. You want to have the people orbiting around you. And then the best thing is, you get the choice. It's always been about choice. It's always been about how to get, you know, the most, and basically just how to get what you want, which is choice, freedom, closure, just knowing where someone is at, and knowing, like, what to do, the confidence, things like that, you know? It's like the meanings that we give thing often are the things that get in the way. You know, if we think that dating is this hard, someone said once on my Facebook page that it was like a job interview. If you go into dating thinking it's a job interview, I'm sorry, but that's fucked up. You're gonna have a fucking hard time, because every time, like, how fun are job interviews? Like, out of 10. I don't know about you, but for me, job interviews are about a 1 out of 10. Not really that good, right? So if every time you go on a date and it's a job fucking interview, you're going to have a bad fucking time. So this is why I love the power of metaphors, you know. Basically, how I coach and things like that is through the power of metaphors, or as I like to call destiny metaphors, which is even more powerful. Is that we can change someone's experience through metaphors. We can change someone's experience through how they perceive the world through these metaphors. So if someone thinks it's like a job interview, they're going to have a really hard time. But if someone thinks all they have to do is just shine brightly like a flame, then the moths come, then things will be a little bit easier. And all you need to do as the flame is just be yourself. Oh, so cliche, but it's fucking true. This is, everyone always says, like, what's your most authentic self? Your most authentic self is actually the self that you are that is the most spontaneous, you know? If you're upset with someone, you fucking tell them. You speak the unspokens. That's power. That's true fucking personal power. When you speak your unspokens, that's when you become the real, most authentic you. And the thing is, when we get to work, that's when people beat that shit out of us. You know, in Australia, mate, when we're in year 10, I think it's like 16, that's my Australian fucking accent. When you're all 16, I'm going to stop doing the accent. So when you're 16, you have to do a thing called work experience, where you do a week in a real job. And I let my mum organize my thing because I was a lazy little kid. I was a lazy little fat Indian kid who just loved to eat a lot of cheese. I let my mum organize it, and she organized it in the finance department of the local city council. And I remember going there thinking, I never want to be like this ever again in my entire life. I never want to work a proper desk job. Ironically, I have a desk now, and that's my job. But it's like, you know, some jobs beat that out of you. So which means if jobs beat that out of you, in the rest of your life, it is your responsibility to speak your unspokens as much as you can. Because that's how you make a really amazing connection with someone, is you be most authentically yourself. Now, I can't remember why we went on this rant, but basically, it's like you want to be the moth. Sorry, you want to be the flame and not the moth, which is why space is important. One, relationships are fucking collaborative. They are collaborative. If you keep saying, and a lot of people say this, like, how do I make him like me? Or the guys are like, my really bad interpretations of people, like, how do I make him like me? Or how make her like me or whatever. What happens is that you're taking more responsibility than you have. You know, you should always take responsibility for how the other person feels, but also take responsibility for the space that you give a person. You know, the space for them to come to their own realizations and the space for them to come to you. Now, I can hear you psychically through this saying, but how much space is enough space? Enough space for them to respond, simply put. You know, that might be that, you know, enough space is before a date is not, you know, texting them before because you want the magnitude of the emotional connection to be higher, right? It might also be that, you know, if you say something that's worth hearing, you give them the space to hear it. Because if you say something, this is called a redirect, by the way, if you tell them something that's really annoyed you about them, if you say, hey, I hate it when you don't listen to me, do not follow it up with a joke. You say, hey, I don't like it when you listen to me, but, you know, it's like, but let's go get burritos. You're basically not giving them the space to hear the thing that you had to say. So if you say, hey, I don't like it when you don't listen to me, pause. Because that way, they can actually hear you. They can actually process this. So space is one of the biggest things when it comes to dating, and space is how you make life a bit easier for yourself. Because if you're going out trying and 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 trying, you're not giving anyone space. And what you'll find is, especially at the start, if you give someone space, they'll come to you. You know, if someone does something that you don't necessarily like or things like that, you can also give them space because, you know, who are they to do something that violates your boundaries? If you give them space, they'll learn, oh shit, I better do that. I better not do that if I want to get to you, you know, things like that. So it's worth understanding when it comes to good textuality, it's about space. You know, it's about quality of connection, not quantity. So you want to make the space enough between, so that way when it actually comes to communicating, it's a higher quality of communication because you've spent so much time in anticipation. How good would it be if you went on a date with a guy and he spent the entire week thinking about it, just like you probably spent the entire week thinking about it as well? You know, this is how you do it, is you give people that space. The more messages you send sometimes, the more pressure you put on, the more, you know, unless the guy is a bit daft, which happens, you know, unless the guy's a bit daft, he's going to be thinking, oh yeah, she likes me, things like that. And then he gets there and he's like, wait, what did she do? She spent the entire week texting me. I already know this girl. I know her via text message. And then it basically becomes friends because you've basically anchored it with the other person that you're just texting people. You know, I've had actually people in the past, when I was young and carefree, like a good little boy. People that maybe I was on Tinder or maybe I met them in a bar and we spent so much time texting that we still text to this day and we never met up, that we're just texting friends. So what do you want? Do you want to be his texting friend or do you want to actually be his lover, his girlfriend, his partner in crime, his life partner, stuff like that. So what I want to say here today is if there's one takeaway that you can take from this is space is so important, but also safety. The more you can make someone else feel safe, more feel heard, things like that, the more they're going to be more authentically themselves, which gives you more permission for you to be more yourself. This is always about giving. The secret of, you know, life is not about me, it's about we. It's about where we both are. So thank you so much for listening to this Honest Modern Dating podcast. Make sure to email me at harvey@gethimhooked. Any feedback, any ideas, any requests for future podcasts, let me know. Especially if there are other platforms that you think I should put this on. Right now, I'm on my website and also iTunes if there's other things that you want. And also on the topic of iTunes, we're going to bring down Hannah Riley from Triple J because she's at number one in the sexuality section. And I'm coming for you. I'm coming. So thanks so much for listening. Make sure to share this with every human being you've ever met, including the person that you get your coffee from. And I will see you next week on the flip side. All right. Mwah. Bye.